At the past TCA 2009 conference, I had the opportunity to sit in on Dr. Chris Morsch's presentation about turning up the heat on 21st century learning. As usual, Dr. Morsch delivers to a packed room, sharing his insights and making connections between Level 5 technology use to impact learning. This is your host, Miguel Gulen, from Around the Corner. Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find the notes for this session online at the nonprofit Around the Corner website at mguhlin.org in the podcast category. More information about Dr. Morsch and the LODI can be found at www.lodiconnection.com. Thanks again to Dr. Morsch for sharing his insights into teaching, learning, and technology. Quick note about the podcast. I've removed one video that was up at the beginning. It was difficult to hear it from Chris's position because he was carrying the recording device around his neck. And so I've gone ahead and deleted that. Take care. Enjoy the podcast.
My name is Chris Morsch. I'm the executive director of the LOTI project. Raise your hand if you've heard of LOTI. You've heard of LOTI? Oh, joining me to my right, to your left, is Lachelle Morsch, and she's assisting me. This is her first time in a formal environment, such as a conference. So, oops, that hurt. Okay, as I move forward quickly, today's topic, 21st century professional development equals empowered teachers. Would you please take 35 seconds right now and discuss with your colleague, what does it mean to be empowered? How do you empower someone? Okay, you're on the clock right now, 34, 33, 32. How do you empower someone? When we talk about empowered teachers, what does that mean? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. What is, and your name is Susan. Susan, what is it to empower someone? What does that mean? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. This is really powerful. To empower someone.
To give them the tools that they need in order to be able to do their job the way they need to be able to do it.
What do you think? Does that work for everyone? Okay, if you just please nod right now, maintain eye contact, appropriate hand and eye gestures. Very good. That's a nice... nice to meet you. Okay, now, we're going to talk about 21st century professional development, ladies and gentlemen, is not difficult. Okay, so as I was saying, 21st century professional development is not difficult. 21st century professional development focuses on turning up the heat on teaching and learning, and this is a concept we've been advancing for how long, Melissa? For 4 long years. When we talk about heat, higher order thinking, engaged learning, authenticity, and technology use. If you're thinking about heat, but you're saying my district is focusing on rigor and relevance, think about it. It's all about heat. If you think about all the different initiatives, why heat? Increasing the heat means promoting Daggett's Quadrant D learning. Think about this. Higher order thinking, engaged learning, authenticity, and technology use. And if you were lucky enough to get one of the handouts that I have, I believe it's on page 2, we have a heat rubric for you. Increasing the heat means elevating the depth of knowledge. When you look at Webb's depth of knowledge model, it's important that we see the consistency with different curriculum initiatives when we're talking about heat. Increasing the heat means reinforcing research-based best practices. At certain levels, we see certain types of research best practices in terms of generating recognition, providing homework, but then when we start to move to a higher level, we start to see the use of similarities, differences, generating hypotheses, using non-linguistic representation. Increasing the heat means elevating LODI levels in the classroom. And last but not least, increasing the heat means promoting 21st century skills and themes. I think it's important that we see that the alignment, when we're talking about LODI or heat, we're also talking about any one of those other initiatives. And by the way, those aren't the only initiatives. We did some brainstorming. In addition to these initiatives, what about WOW, Thoughtful Ed, Quantum Learning? All of them follow a model of talking about higher order thinking, engaged learning, authenticity, but in many of these initiatives, where does technology fit in? I think that's critical that we look at that. What is 21st century teaching and learning? Is this an example?
Can someone explain to me the function of one of the basic parts of the electric motor? without the RMX switch, what I call the timing cable, the motor wouldn't make a complete revolution.
Do you all agree with Danny's statement? George?
Yes, I do, because on the diagram you can see that the commutator reverses the current. If it didn't, the illumination would stop.
All right, now, from what we've seen in the film and talked about, can someone give me the definition of a commutator?
Sharon, give me your definition.
A commutator is a device for reversing the direction of a current.
The film has been used...
Okay, I have to ask a serious question. What is a commutator?
Don't have a clue.
It's a device for
reversing the direction of a car.
Wait, what does that mean to you?
It means instead of going this way, the current's going to go wrong.
Okay, good. But is this an example of 21st century teaching and learning?
No.
Okay, I would suggest not. Very didactic, very structured, subject matter based. Take a look at this example. This is dollars and cents from Edutopia.
Today is to figure out if we are going to buy, sell, or hold the security that we've already purchased in the portfolio.
Many teachers use fictional stock portfolios to help students hone their math skills.
We bought Disney at $35.14. Where is it now?
But at the Aerial Community Academy on Chicago's South Side, students have a vested interest in learning because they're risking real money.
What are our options?
Lots of it.
I say hold because since it went up a dollar an hour, it may go up even more in another period of time.
Each aerial class receives an endowment of $20,000, which they begin to actively manage in sixth grade.
I say hold it because if you sell it right now, all you're doing is making basically like a dollar profit.
When they graduate eighth grade, the class donates half of their profits to charity. Each student receives an equal share of the remaining profits, usually just over $100, to invest on their own.
The money that I make with investments, I will put that towards some the college tuition and all that, because I know that it's very expensive, laptop, books, classes.
Okay, is that an example of 21st century teaching and learning? Why? Tanya, why is that an example? Okay, real world?
Authentic?
Okay, student. There's some type of student product. And interesting word, engage. Ladies and gentlemen, is there a difference between student engagement and student involvement in the learning? Would you please process that for 15 seconds? Is there a difference? Or is this just a syntax issue that we're talking about here? Is this semantics? Is there a difference? Can students be involved but not engaged? By doing what? What would be an example of students being involved but not engaged? Okay, just like what we're doing right now? So you're telling me that you're involved but not engaged? Well, no, okay, never mind. I think that's a good point. We're talking about engaged learning. So when we're talking about 21st century skills, before we talk about professional development, I think it's important we define what do we mean by 21st century teaching and learning. And when we're talking about professional development for 21st century teaching and learning, we just talk about what we're doing online. Or what else can we do in terms of really promoting the heat? Learning and innovation skills. Did you see any of that with that prior clip? What about the use of technology? How would you like everyone in the classroom, they get $20,000 to invest over a 3-year period and get to keep and divide up half the portfolio at the end? Life and career skills, flexibility, adaptability, initiative, and self-direction. And last but not least, did that clip address any one of these at Chicago's Aerial School? Did you see any of these?
Yes.
What themes did you see? Economics, entrepreneurship, global awareness,
business.
Excellent. So we're looking at 21st century teaching and learning. That is what equals heat. So when we're talking about 21st century teaching and learning, it's all about how do we raise the heat in the classroom? How do we make that the dominant culture on our campus? Let's do heat analyses inside K-12 classrooms. Let's take a look at a couple of them. You have your heat rubric on page 2. And if you'd please be correct, was that a yawn?
No.
Was that an intentional or unintentional yawn?
I was going to ask a question.
Wow, I like that. That's a loady 5, okay? Thank you.
knock everybody back on the planet.
Would you please, as a team, move over to the evacuation area and see if you can help them determine where the people should be going with the information you have?
The E-Mission, the health premise is, you have three different teams, one team does hurricane data, one team does volcanic data, and you have one team that does evacuation.
I have entered 21, 22, and 23.
Wendy, you were. Wendy,
you're actually getting fed real live data from a commander elsewhere, and they send data to each one of the teams. Each team records that data, they graph the data, they send the data to communications people, who then send it back to the lady who was in charge. Once all that data comes together, we put it all up on the board, and you can actually see where the hurricane's going. You can see evidence that the volcano is about to erupt. And then the evacuation team has to use what they have on the island of Montserrat to actually get the people to safety, whether that's moving them north or south on the island, or whether that's actually evacuating and taking them completely away from the island.
So students are involved in a simulation called the Island of Montserrat, where they have to make a decision whether to evacuate the island based on a continuous stream of data related to a potential volcanic eruption, or some type of hurricane. Would you please do a heat analysis on this, on page 2? What do you see in terms of, what level are the students operating at in terms of higher order thinking? What level are they operating at in terms of engaged learning? What about authenticity? Is this authentic? And what would you check off? Again, I want to try to be very specific. When we're talking about heat, was this learning experience bringing the heat? Think about this. For higher order thinking, what level were the students operating at? Okay, Chris is looking for a specific. Okay, was there analysis going on? Was there any predictions? Were they coming up with a plan? Formulating a plan? Isn't that getting into the synthesis area? Well, evaluation is ultimately at the end. Were they successful? Isn't that moving to evaluation, making a judgment? What about engaged learning? What were they doing? Take a look at those look fors. What were they doing? Pardon me? In terms of trying to solve a problem that extends beyond the classroom? What about authenticity? How did you score authenticity on page 2? Okay, real world relevance. Were they given a chance to apply what they've learned to a real world situation?
Yeah.
Okay, and what about technology use? Directly connected. So you would say this is called bringing the heat. I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page with this. Mark, you okay back there?
Okay. A lot of heat back here.
Miguel, would you move away from Mark, please? Okay, so this is an example of heat. Now, would you please turn to page 3? Would you quickly do a Loti sniff test on this? What is the Loti level of this learning experience? And please, you can use your colleague to your left or to your right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just looking for the right answer right now. What is the Loti level? Okay, can we all agree it's at least a Loti 3?
Yeah.
Maybe it's at least a Loti 4?
Yeah.
I mean, the bottom line is, are the kids consumed by what they're doing?
Yeah.
That's what's important to look at, okay? So this is at least a Loti 4. For some kids, it's probably a Loti negative 2. Would you agree? Doesn't that happen? And then for some kids, they may have taken it to a higher level. Take a look at this one. Okay, do a quick heat analysis. Was this bringing the heat? Okay, again, look at those categories. Higher order thinking, what level were the students operating at? And by the way, I know the answer. I interviewed a half dozen third grade teachers. They told me exactly what level. Think about this. In terms of engaged learning, what level were those students operating at? Authenticity. How authentic real world was this to third graders? Remember, life is always about perimeter. I don't know. Maybe it's not. And technology use. Was technology an integral part of task completion, or was it an add-on? Okay, because if they did the activity correct, what did they get? Use a computer. Higher order thinking, according to the half dozen third grade teachers I interviewed, around knowledge comprehension. That exercise was just to show that they understand the concept of perimeter. In terms of engaged learning, no, they weren't solving a problem. They were reporting back information. And authenticity. By the way, are there any real world applications of perimeter in the known world? Why do we even need to know this? What's that?
I don't even think there's an application for pipe cleaners.
You know what? Great call. Is there even an application for pipe cleaners, okay? What, for your ears? Okay. Alrighty, okay. Okay, what I'd like to do is I just want to use this as sort of a foundation, just to make sure we're up to speed on when we're talking about heat, and heat equals 21st century teaching and learning. And I also want to make sure that we're on the same page in terms of how do we tie this in with these low levels?
Hey, Chris, that wasn't a bad lesson, though, because kids need to be taught perimeter anyway. So what you're saying is it should have been ramped up somehow?
What I'm saying is, what do you do with two or three third graders who already understand perimeter? Why are they doing the same exercise? That activity could have been very appropriate for a group of third graders. How are we differentiating the lesson? Does that make sense?
Teacher, they needed a loading makeover.
No, they needed a loading makeover?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Mel, I'm coming up to that in a minute.
Oh,
thank
great.
You. Mel, for Mel, this is her 453rd loading presentation. Would you please give her a round of applause? Congratulations. Okay, but no, I just want to make sure, nothing wrong with the lesson, but how is that lesson being tiered for those children that already understand the concept of perimeter and their parents work for a pipe cleaner factory? No, you see what I'm talking about here? So if I'm doing an observation, what am I looking for? I'm looking for how is this lesson being tiered, because I think some children can actually apply the concept. So I am not knocking the lesson in any way, shape, or form. I want to make sure that's crystal clear. That lesson may have been appropriate for a certain sector of my classroom, but is it appropriate for all of my students, even above grade level or below grade level? And that's going to be one of the heat strategies we're going to talk about. The first one is called creating individualized professional development plans. And if I may move your attention to page number, actually it's going to be page 4 and 5. How do we create individualized professional development plans for teachers to really promote 21st century teaching and learning? Well, number one is we look at data. Has anyone here ever taken what's called the Lodi survey? Raise your hand. Good. I'm not going to ask how many times you've taken it. But we just released a few weeks ago the new Lodi Digital Age Survey that is completely aligned to the NET standards for teachers. Also, when teachers take, and this survey is free to every public school teacher in the state of Texas, and when you take the Lodi survey, it will tell you what your current Lodi level is. It will also show you where you are at related to 21st century skills. It will also show you where you're at related to Marzano's research-based best practices. It will also show you your alignment to Daggett's rigor and relevance, as well as Webb's depth of knowledge. Now, with that data, again, it's aligned to these constructs that happen to be the same constructs as the National Education Technology Standards for Teachers. I want you to see this for a moment, because when we create an action plan, would you please turn to page 5 right now, which is immediately after page 4 in your handout. And on page 5, you have a profile for a teacher, and her name is? Susie Cream Cheese. Okay, would you go ahead and take a look at that profile for a moment? Take a look at her current instructional practices. It'll give you a description. Take a look at her personal computer use tied to digital use of resources. And then on the next page, take a look at what her current Lodi level is, as well as the graph that shows you what her current profile is based on the National Education Technology Standards. And from there, I'm going to give you, this activity at least is going to warrant 90 seconds. Do you agree?
Yeah.
would you quickly just brainstorm with another colleague? If you have to, just introduce yourself to someone really smart, which everyone is in here. And I'd like you to go ahead and think about for a moment, take a look at this teacher's profile. Where would you want this teacher to be 12 months from now in terms of Lodi? Take a look at it for a moment. If you could just take a look at that profile, take a look at instructional practices, take a look at how she's using digital assets right now. And it might be appropriate to say, take a look at her grade level and how many years teaching. Mark, what we're doing is a simulation right now. Okay. Does this teacher remind you of anyone on your campus or in your district? How many years has she been teaching? 2 years? What grade level? And by the way, what's her CIP? And if you're wondering what CIP is, that's another metric that comes out of that Lodi survey. It's called Current Instructional Practices. And if you turn to page 4, I have sort of a CIP sniff test to kind of give you these different levels. Her CIP is fairly high, ladies and gentlemen. Does that make sense? How can you have a high CIP in terms of being more learner-centered, those characteristics of a learner-centered classroom, but yet what's her Lodi level right now? Is that possible? Someone can have, in terms of their instructional practice, are probably where we want to be. You know, when we're talking about, it looks like she's bringing the HIA. Isn't that true? She's bringing some serious HIA. Some higher order thinking, some engagement, some authenticity, but what's missing? And the technology primarily at a Lodi 2 tells me, when she is using technology, it's primarily for activities that are at the lower end of Bloom's taxonomy, knowledge comprehension. Well, we're designing an action plan for her, and again, as I know that you haven't had years of Lodi training, but if you could take 20 seconds right now and tell me, where would we want this teacher to be 12 months from now? Assuming that we were implementing the appropriate interventions for her, what would be her desired Lodi level 12 months from now? Can I give you just take 20 seconds on this? And again, I want you, as you're doing this, think about grade level, thinking about years teaching, think about her instructional practices going on.
It is 3:24.
What's the answer? Okay. Okay, Barb, would you be kind enough to share?
So we happen to be technology integration specialists.
So where do we want to move Susie? Where do we want to move Susie?
To a 5, and we can help her do that by giving her the confidence in technology.
Okay, so what you're saying is, ladies and gentlemen, I think this is important because I think all of us that have put in years of professional development, we come across the Susie cream cheese of the world. We come across the Tommy Technoweenies of the world. We come across the Arthur Amway-bound people in the world. But, okay, so if we're staying at Lodi 5, well, what type of interventions would you recommend to get her there?
Some one-on-one training, technology training, starting with better use of emails and basic computer programming.
So what you're saying is, so what's driving the fact that you can move her, say, from a 2 to a 5 in 12 months? What's probably the most important variable here? Well, okay. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but time flies, okay? What, pardon me? Okay, the type of professional development, absolutely, but I think there's a more important variable that makes it possible.
I think you can't do the training without the tools.
Okay.
I mean, if she doesn't have the tools in there, the technology tools to be utilizing on a daily basis, then we're not going to move her very far because it's not going to change her teaching.
Okay, exactly, and that's true too. Sir? Excellent point. How many of us have worked with staff members that are at their comfort level with technology is at a 17, but they're still entrenched in a subject matter based design, very didactic, teacher centered, and they may be at a Lodi 1. Is that possible? They could be at a Lodi 1 in terms, they are the ones using the technology. How many years will it take to move that person to a Lodi 5? You know what, thank you very much. Too many. But I think that's the key here, taking a look at instructional practices. We can talk about collaborative learning environments, online learning, blogs, wikis. We can talk about all these different types of delivery, but it all boils down to instructional practices. And we have to keep that front and center if we're going to move people to a higher Lodi level. Excellent. Oh, by the way, the Lodi survey is free to all teachers. For those of you that want to take a look at it, you can go to www.lodilounge.com, and I'll come back to this in a minute. In fact, undercover, is there already a blog site?
Yes.
I want credit for this. Oh, yes. Yes, Miguel, you have a question.
Dr. Morse,
yes, Miguel.
I was chatting with the folks back here in the back row, especially Jerry from Lucas ISD, and one of the questions that we had was, you made connections to Willard Daggett's work, and as well as a few other noted writers and theorists and things like that. Have you checked with them to verify that it's okay for you to draw the conclusions that you've made between Lodi and rigor and relevance and differentiated instruction of Carol A. Thomas?
Yes, I do have those letters on file. Please check with my wife afterwards, and she can provide that information. No, these are inferences that I've made.
Okay.
Yes. And it has yet to be corroborated, but I feel very comfortable and I feel pretty safe in making these connections in terms of taking a look at those specific theories and how does it align to the Lodi levels, how does it align to heat. Because I think if you look into the research, it really talks about, if you look at rigor and relevance, I mean, what is rigor and relevance about? It's about integrating complex thinking strategies. We're talking about inductive, deductive reasoning, problem solving, decision making. And I think it's important that we see how does that tie into heat. Well, that represents the higher order thinking. But excellent question. Thank you. And Miguel, thank you for sharing that with us. Okay. Now, back to the survey. If you want to try it, please go to Lodi Lounge or go to the blog and click on the Lodi Digital Age Survey. The group ID is called Texas. And the password is?
Texas.
Very good. Okay. Okay, second heat strategy. We call these lesson makeovers. How do you take, is anyone ever, in terms of your position, look at review lessons that come in? What about for yourselves? In terms of if you are a classroom teacher, do you, I'm assuming there's some reflection that goes on in terms of ensuring that it ties into the essential curriculum? Well, take a look at this. When we think about lesson makeovers, we're talking about how much heat are they generating. And a colleague of mine, Dr. Marge Maxwell at Western Kentucky University, she has a chart for analyzing lesson plans based on heat. She actually has a thermometer in the left margin, and it's in Fahrenheit or Celsius. You take your pick. You can actually determine the temperature of any lesson plan based on how much heat it's generating. Such as when you look at the objectives and the activities in the lesson, if it involves students analyzing information, give yourself 20 degrees Fahrenheit. So you can actually tally it up. And I've seen this where some teachers will say, students, bring a jacket tomorrow. The temperature of the lesson is around 36 degrees Fahrenheit. What does that tell me? In terms of heat. Think about that in terms of higher order thinking. What level would that be at? Engaged learning. It sounds like the kids are just spitting or repeating back information. Authenticity, it sounds like there's really not those connections being made, and there may or may not be any use of technology. Take a look at this lesson, and with a trusted colleague, now that we've been together now for 25 minutes, would you go ahead and let's do a makeover.
Hello, my name is Glenn Rustay. I'm a National Board teacher, and I'm introducing to you the exhibit Colonial Times. The Colonial Times unit is designed to bring to life the colonial days. The children are introduced to how people lived back then and what was used to survive. After an introduction to the unit, during which the children state what they already know about colonial life, the students list what subject or area they'd like to learn more about. From that list, the students determine what they would like to research by brainstorming with the other students at their group. Technology is utilized from the start, with a short video about colonial times being used to introduce the unit. an electronic field trip from Gordon Williamsburg is used, as well as other technology including HyperStudio, scanners, digital cameras, the internet, electronic encyclopedias, and a VCR listening center. Students are motivated to learn more about the colonial times as they see pictures, find information, and plan the presentation, including activities for the rest of their classmates. Finally, all the information is found, the project is planned, completed, and ready to present to the rest of the class. This is when we have our two-day colonial celebration. All parents are invited to attend, and the students bring food and are encouraged to dress in colonial clothing. Our celebration includes student presentations of colonial clothing, home, food, games, and even the Indians that the colonists met. It is an exciting time to be a part of our classroom, The Explorers. Come, join us on our journey to learn more about colonial time.
Okay, would you please do let's do a makeover on that. And to do that, would you please first do a heat analysis on that. Is that activity bringing the heat? What's the loading level of it? Sorry, I didn't mean to have you work on an afternoon like this, but I think it's important. Was this lesson bringing the heat? What was the Lodi level? If you removed all the technology use, what's left? What are the students doing? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, would you please do this right now? Would you extend your palms like this? We're going to do a 1, 2, 3, give me the finger or fingers for what the Lodi level is, okay? Okay, here we go. And stick with it. 1, 2, 3, hold it up high. I'm getting a 1, I'm getting a 2, I'm getting a 3 spot, I'm getting 1, 1, 1, 2, I'm getting 2s, 3s, 3s, I'm getting a lot of 2s back here, 2s, Mark, what is it? Okay, this is what we call a Lodi 2. If you look at your sniff test, were the students applying what they learned to a real-world situation? Were they reporting what they've learned? Okay, and again, as I'm going to say this, for some children, this may be a very appropriate activity, but what do you do with the students that could actually extend this, where they can actually apply it? Maybe do some type of comparison between colonial times and today as a fourth grader. Would life be easier? Why or why not? I mean, think about this. Sometimes to bump up a lesson to do a makeover doesn't take all of that work. It may just focus on the types of questions that we are asking, the types of questions that we are posing. How often do we just rely on KWL? What about another strategy we're going to talk about a little bit later is questioning strategies. Here we have what's called differentiated instruction. Now, how does that fit in with heat? Well, if you think about all the different ways that we can differentiate in the classroom, what does a truly differentiated classroom look like, ladies and gentlemen? I'm suggesting that when we think about differentiation, when I walk into a classroom, if I'm doing an observation, I'm looking at how many Lodi levels do I see occurring based on the readiness level interests of the learner. I'm not just looking for a 2, I'm looking for multiple Lodi levels. So in a truly differentiated classroom, we see multiple Lodi levels. Is Lodi 0 ever appropriate? Well, absolutely. It's based on what content's being addressed and the desired level of cognition. Similarly, for some students, I think I have a couple students that we can assign an anchor activity that's probably at a Lodi 4 and that they could be very successful with. Okay, so we have differentiated instruction. We also have, I call this heat strategy, focus strategies. This occurred a couple months ago when at one of our Lodi project schools in Atlantic City, New Jersey, I walked into a 7th grade math classroom and I heard the focus activity from the teacher to really get these 7th graders engaged in tessellations. She said, today we're going to learn about tessellations. Now what does that do to most 7th graders? Well, does that sound like blah blah blah? That's not what we call a focus activity. How do you make a personal connection between the students and the content, and so that the students are the ones generating the engaging questions instead of the teacher uttering these essential questions? So take a look at focus strategies, stage scenarios, reflective discovery. Some of you have seen this and have modeled this for teachers whom you work with. contests, competitions, surveys, discrepant events, and music. Take a look at this discrepant event from an 8th grade science classroom.
We're in a mandatory evacuation situation now. We're looking at anywhere from 10 to 14 to 15 feet of storm surge parish-wide.
A hurricane is bearing down on New Orleans.
Okay, right now I'm going to need a book.
And 8th graders from Landry Middle School have assembled at the nearby Emergency Response Center to deal with the mock crisis.
Do we even have a baby? How are we going to get the paramedics?
We're going to send two paramedics.
Power is out, bridges are down, and a pregnant woman is calling for help. The situation demands clear judgment, teamwork, and improvisation.
2 minutes of what? That day is coming out.
Do you have any type of transportation?
Don't we have some truck people that drive to water?
It's like a whole session. So we're going to use that truck to bring the paramedics to her house.
To her house.
Anytime we teach and we use real, relevant, real-life experiences, kids are immersed in those experiences, and learning's fun. And the bottom line is when learning's fun, it's easy, and it comes quick to the kids and they enjoy.
After some anxious moments, the storm passes, and science teacher Linda Watsky quizzes her class on what they've gained from the exercise.
I will always remember the stress. I mean, it's hard being parish president. You got people, you know, like Christy over here, your team, well, you got a fire over here, and St. Tanisha over here, a tree burn on over here, and then, it's stressful. I mean, yeah, listen to so many things at one time.
Okay, how does what we were learning in class relate to this? What does it take to solve a problem?
You don't have to be right the first go round.
Okay, so the same with in scientific methods. The difference in class is you're solving it to learn knowledge. And here, you're solving it to save people's lives. And I think that's what it
is. Is that a quality focus activity? Were the students engaged? I mean, can you tell that parish president? What do I do? You know, like 15 different events happening simultaneously. Another HEAT strategy, 21st century assessments, and the one I want to share with you, what does a 21st century assessment look like? From one of our Lodi Project schools in Natrona County, Wyoming, we received a submission online through the Moodle environment from a K-1 teacher. And her name is Nicole Roden from Natrona County School District, specifically from Woods Learning Center. And if you can't read it, let me just share it with you. It has a six-week project where a field trip to the city landfill, followed by a field trip to recycling center, a cooperative group activity, Venn diagram, landfill items, recycled items, items that can be both, discussion and begin lunch trash collection, invite other schools to participate using a podcast on the Woods Learning Center website, compost guest speaker comes in, compost baggie experiment compared to school lunch garbage, divide school lunch garbage into different categories, cooperative groups devise action plan for reducing school lunch waste, presentation made to district school lunch personnel. Does that sound like 21st century? Is it real world? Is it bringing the heat? And I'm just looking at, in terms of our criteria, taking a look at from the Partnership for the 21st Century, does it fit any of these? Was there any critical thinking and problem solving going on? Was there information, media, and technology skills being used? Life and career skills. By the way, if you always want to come up with a cool 21st century assessment, find a really good early childhood specialist, okay? They bring the heat. And what about this? Did it tie into any of these themes? Think about this. Global awareness, civic literacy. Okay, another strategy, and you have seen this, and I hope when you're looking at these HEAT strategies, I hope your response is, you know what, we're already doing some of these. And I think that's critical that we recognize that we're already doing some good things, but the whole concept here is to go from good to great. And just putting people in a professional learning community doesn't necessarily make that happen. They can be in a professional learning community for the next 20 years and they'll still be out of Lodi too. Because they might be more involved in the technology and the wow than looking at the pedagogy. And we need to make sure that we have a balance here. When we're talking about questioning strategies, Jamie McKenzie's Questioning Toolkit. Great site, and I have a link to that on the blog. I love this site because it gets people weaned away from KWL. What about some what-if questions? To what extent? It forces analysis, it forces synthesis when we look at different questioning strategies. In fact, one fourth grade classroom in upstate New Jersey that I was visiting, the teacher has instituted a Bloom question day of the week. Every day is devoted to a Bloom day. So I was there on a Thursday. Excuse me. No, I was there on a Friday, and Friday was synthesis evaluation day. The teacher asked a question, and the student said, Ms. Smith, I'm sorry, but your question's at the recall level. Can you rephrase that? Oh. And this teacher's going, I can't wait till Monday, because what's Monday? Knowledge day, okay? So questioning strategies is another way that we can bump up the heat. And what about peer observations in terms of being able to do a heat assessment? And if you turn to page 2 in your handout, we have that heat rubric that lets us go so that people can go from one classroom to another. And I have to ask this question honestly. How many of you belong to LA Fitness? Raise your hand. You belong to LA Fitness? What do they say at LA Fitness?
I don't say anything to me. I just go work out.
What they say is, over the loudspeaker, what gets measured gets improved. When we think about heat, what gets measured gets improved. If we're not focusing on heat levels in the classroom, ladies and gentlemen, what are we focusing on? If you truly feel that student engagement impacts TAC scores, if you really feel that we need to engage students at a higher level of thinking, it's all about turning up the heat, but if we're not measuring it, what are we doing? And I'm not talking about a walkthrough. I'm talking about a peer observation with teachers visiting other teachers' classroom that are looking at these characteristics. Another heat strategy, believe it or not, when you look at Marzano's research-based best practices, when you look at those strategies that I had referenced a little bit earlier in terms of similarities, differences, non-linguistic representation, what about generating hypotheses? Those involve at least some HIA. Maybe not the heat, but definitely some HIA. And again, as I want to focus this towards the latter part of my session, collaborative learning environments. Because I did not want to turn this into, here are 25 different wikis you can go to or podcasts. We need to keep the focus on HIA. We need to keep the focus on higher order thinking, engaged learning, authenticity, and technology use. But we need to see that within a gestalt. We cannot look at those items individually. So we're talking about collaborative learning environments, online courses, wikis, web communities, blended learning communities, blogs. And I just want to just highlight a few of these, blended learning communities. This is from one of our Lodi Project schools in Natrona County. On January 7, 2009, we spent the day differentiating lessons using two specific strategies, tiered lessons and learning centers. Following the session, it was requested that each person generate an original tiered lesson using the tiered lesson template. Use a submission form to attach the most recent tiered lesson or learning center activity that you implemented in your classroom and provide a critique as to its impact on student success. Now, this is blended learning because it's a combination of on-site with online. But there's another benefit to doing blended learning, is sometimes in a professional development session, when you leave, in some instances, people have been known not to follow through. No, this is outside of Texas. I'm not talking about the Texas model. I'm talking about in another state. But that's the beauty of blended learning, is that there's an expectation that at this date, and yes, you will get an email. You will get a phone call. It's to kind of keep everyone on track. Yes, question? Oh, you touching your hair? Okay. Okay, so we talk about blended learning. We also talk about online conferencing. And again, for those that are the Skype experts or iChat, just think about how often we use that. Is that a potential tool for professional development to encourage 21st century teaching and learning? And last but not least, we have online courses. And what I'm sharing with you right here is at the Lodi Classroom, we have a series of online courses, all focusing on turning up the heat. Because ladies and gentlemen, where there's heat, there's
fire.
There's Lodi.
Sorry, my husband's a fireman.
Barb, see me afterwards, please. Okay. And what I wanted to do to end our session today, we're going to run a little raffle for those of you that would like to have a free subscription for an online course. Michelle, we need to do some how many people do we have in here? Wait, excuse me. Melissa, how many people do we have approximately?
60.
32.
We have 32?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we're going to number off, I think that cube will go up to a 12, won't it?
Yes.
Okay, okay, we're going to go ahead and number off 1 to 12 right now, and we'll start with you.
1, 2, 3.
Now, it's important to remember your numbers. Okay.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 11.
Oh. Terry, thank you. 1.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Ignore those guys.
10, 11, 12.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
You want me 8?
Yes.
9, 11, 12.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and roll the die here. Oh, it's not coming up, is it? You know what? Excuse me a minute. You know, ladies and gentlemen, when in doubt, what do?
You're
right here? Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and roll this. So if your number comes up, Michelle will give you a free voucher to one of our short courses, okay, that focuses either on higher order thinking, engaged learning, authenticity, technology use. Here we go. We ready? Here, Mel, you want
to
do it?
Wait. First you have to roll one, because 1 to 6, if you roll 2, they won't ever
ones
win.
Ones won't ever win.
Okay, I'm going to do this twice now.
Everyone needs to turn into it.
Okay, Mel. Everyone can be another number.
Well, no, we're going to...
Oh, we're going to...
No, don't do that.
Okay,
don't do that.
Okay.
Go ahead. We have a 1. Okay, now... Okay...
Now we gotta do. It's gotta be fair. You're gonna have to get as many, but
we have several of them. Okay, here we go. We go with a
get one.
6. A 6. Okay, 1 to 6.
Ones and
6.
Okay,
1s and 6.
See us afterwards, and you get a free voucher to an online course. Ladies and gentlemen, now is that clapping because for the winners, or are we clapping because we learned a little bit more about turning up the heat? Okay, just a quick recap: heat strategies, individualized professional development plans, lesson makeovers, differentiated instruction, 21st century assessments, peer observations, questioning strategies with a double B, and there's an intent there. I'll share with that those that want to stick around in the next hour. Research-based best practices, focus strategies, and last but not least, collaborative learning environments. Thank you for being here. May the Lodi be with you always.